holds them together. Here's Colin now.
The bond that is keeping Britain strong. Hurrah for James Bond films! The latest one, Skyfall, was very popular when it came out last year. It was number 23 in the series. Perhaps that's enough. Do we really need any more films about a man with a gun who travels abroad and fights people, killing quite a lot of them too? I thought the British were trying not to do that sort of thing these days. Certainly a lot of it went on in the days of the British Empire. Just how much was made clear in a recent book by Stuart Laycock. He worked out that of the roughly 200 countries in the world, about 90% have been invaded by the British. That's a lot. The list includes Tibet, for example. That I knew, because I have an old book on the subject, written in the days when having an empire was thought to be cool. It explains that a politico-military expedition went there in 1903 to 1904. In other words, the British Army arrived like the Mafia and wouldn't take no for an answer. The list also includes Cuba. That I didn't know. We were there briefly in the 18th century. Had we stayed, the Buena Vista Social Club might have sounded rather different. Even though the Empire's a thing of the past, you sometimes still hear the comment that Britain can punch above its weight diplomatically. Or should do. Or used to, but can't anymore. Or may not be able to in future. This is a phrase taken from boxing. It's about small boxers who want to fight bigger ones and think they might even win. It's real David and Goliath stuff. But is boxing a helpful model for international diplomacy? The phrase was used by Lord Hurd, who was British Foreign Secretary at the end of the Cold War. Many here still seem to think it's important for Britain to have more influence than you'd expect from such a small collection of islands. This is where James Bond's so useful. If the British get overexcited and feel the need to do a bit more diplomatic punching, he allows them to let off some steam in the cinema. So when Britain risks turning from Dr. Jekyll into Mr. Hyde and making a start on countries it hasn't invaded yet, like Monaco, Chad, or Vatican City, it's time to get a new Bond film out as fast as possible. You probably think I'm being paranoid, but politicians know how important 007 is. They often talk about him at international meetings. They say things like, "We shall strengthen our bond." You may think they want a stronger link between their countries. What they really mean is that it's time to send Daniel Craig back to the gym to start training for his next film. Last May, for example, David Cameron and Barack Obama wrote a joint article for a British newspaper about our special bond. Were they talking about the long partnership between the US and the UK, or were they calling for the British version of Batman to come and save them, the man who drives an Aston Martin and drinks too many dry martinis? Always in that order, one hopes, and not the other way round. The US really does seem to think as much of Bond as we do. When President Obama was re-elected, he talked about the bonds that hold together the most diverse nation on earth. Wow! When did the President of the United States ever pay compliments like that to Bruce Willis or Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Can you imagine living in a place where there are no shops selling fresh food?
For millions of Americans, this is a daily reality. They live in areas known as food deserts, where there is no real opportunity to buy anything except fast food.
Spotlight correspondent Barbara Hiller wanted to know more about food deserts. She spoke to Joel Berg of the New York City Coalition Against Hunger. Berg first gave a definition of a food desert. He mentions the USDA, which is the United States Department of Agriculture. Here's Berg.